I'm quite sure we've talked about reliability goals previously, so this may be a refresher for that discussion, but it becomes doubly important when we're dealing with our supply chain. Having our supply chain understand that we want a component, but we also want a component that actually works in our application with the amounts and types of stresses that we expect to experience, or our product expects to experience, is a whole different way of working through the issue. And helping them make good decisions and help them advise us of which changes to their process or which component to select, so that we both benefit by having a successful product. Now, there's a whole slew of common specifications, and I'm sure you've heard of MTBF. Now, as a quick aside, you probably know that I also author a site called nomtbf.com, and where I rile against the use and the rampant use, more common, well, I should actually say the rampant misuse of MTBF. Yes, it's a simple measure. It's the inverse of a failure rate, and same with MTTF. But it's also often clouds or misrepresents the changing failure rates that we have to deal with on a regular basis. We have infant mortality and we have wear out. And there isn't really, as far as I've ever seen, a flat part of the bathtub curve. It generally doesn't really exist. There isn't really a grand average. Now, you are going to see MTBF and mean life and other similar type of metrics. But keep in mind that it's usually a signal for you to ask more questions. Over what time period is this MTBF value appropriate? How was it measured and evaluated? What's likely to fail? And is that, and I remember having a fan, a cooling fan for electronics box. It had a 50,000 hour MTBF. Now, does that make any sense whatsoever? Because we know that the fan is going to fail in a wear out with wear out mechanisms. The bearings for the fan system in the grease, the bearings in that moving parts generally behaves and classically behaves with a Weibull distribution is the describe the pattern of its failure with a beta of 2. It will wear out. So the first couple of years will have a relatively low probability of failure, and that will steadily increase until it finally fails. So that using an MTBF value takes the chance of failing basically across the entire time period that they did the testing and or the evaluation and gives us a value. So if I only measure fans for, say, 6 months and use that to give me the MTBF value, it would be much, much larger than if I ran it for 5 years when I have a much higher chance to fail. So get off my soapbox here. You can check out that site separately. But MTBF is and MTTF are common metrics, and you're going to see them on data sheets, and specifically you're going to see it on the CRE exam. So understanding how they're calculated and what they imply is pretty important. Meantime, between maintenance events, and there's probably another 30 or 40 common meantime something type of measures. For example, in the aerospace or aviation industry, they use mean time between unscheduled removal. So if the navigation system fails and it has to be removed, that is attributed to the metric of MTBUR. Now, there's lots, and we'll talk about more of these metrics when we get into the maintenance and availability section. But for reliability, the basic definition is what I consider the best metric to use, which is that a particular function operating in an environment is successful with some probability over a duration. So the correct way to specify MTBF is knowing that it's a probability of failure, it's the inverse of failure rate, is that we have a, say, 50,000 hour MTBF over 2 years. Now, if that confuses the people you're dealing with, then you need to explain what MTBF really is and what you really want to have happen. And we usually fall back on the reliability definition, or at least that probability and duration piece. We want to have 98% of our units survive for 2 years, would be an example. And this product is the set of functions, and then where it is put into use is the environment and how it's used. Now, another metric we're going to see is availability. And it's usually just from the customer's point of view is, well, how often do I need this to run or expect it to operate? And how much time did it actually operate? So I get a ratio of its uptime. It's instead of being available 100% of the time, if it was down for some period of time when it should have been working, then I have a less than 100% availability. Those are just some of the very common specifications. When we're working with your suppliers, they will often cite MTBF. I often recommend that you use reliability and give them three different couplets of probability and duration. So here's the, I want a power supply that provides this set of functions. Here's the voltage, current, and other elements that are important to my application. It's going to be used in a home computer, for example, and so I can specify the temperatures and vibration and storage and all kinds of other environmental and use parameters. But then I can say in the first 3 months, I want to have 99.5% survive. First year should have 98% survive, and it should operate for 5 years with a 90% probability. Now, there's no assumptions of distributions there. I don't care whether you, if your failure mechanisms are truly exponentially distributed, then you can use test algorithms that way. But there's no quibbling with what exactly I want. I want a very low failure rate early on and an acceptable failure rate out to the over the extended life of the product. And it leaves open the approach that the vendors can take to solve that problem. But if you just give them one number, I want 50,000 hour MTBF, it doesn't give them information about the early failures or the long-term failures. Doesn't even give them information over what duration you expect to operate the product. So even though it's common, I'm very leery of using it in practice. You do need to know it for the exam, but for real use, I'd say shy away from the MTBF, MTTF type metrics. Now, there's all kinds of other requirements that products may have that are related to reliability. And working with your vendors and with your customers to that effect, to understand exactly what is expected from your product. Now, some products may have an expectation that it's just not possible for it to fail, a failure-free period over some duration. So, for example, mission-critical systems or life support systems may have a 12-hour period when they should just operate and have fault tolerance over that period. Helicopters typically have a 3 to 4 hour period where it really is not a good idea to have a motor or gearbox failures. But if it can survive those periods with either exceedingly low failure rates or have redundancy or robustness built into it, or fault tolerance built into it, but it may require maintenance and repairs and replacements, maybe after each of those missions. It may be critically important that it doesn't fail. Others are, well, how long do I expect it to last? Think of solar panels. Many people buy a solar panel because over the long term, the initial capital investment will pay for itself in lower energy bills. But only if the panels operate at it with enough efficiency for long enough. So I may specify that it has a certain level of performance, ability to produce electricity, over a specified amount of time. Then there's all the fault tolerant type issues and the way that it fails, the nature of the failures, and so on. I remember working with one client who was creating products that went into a silicon wafer fabrication facility. Now, it's a clean room, and so one of the issues with the electronics, especially for the control panels, was that if they had a failure, it could not create smoke or other vapors that came off of the components when it failed. Now, one of the failure mechanisms for, say, ceramic capacitors is that they take on too much current. They become a short. And at some point, the current inrush is so much and the heat buildup is so much that the component will actually catch on fire and explode. Now, it does it very, very fast, and it's not enough heat to cause everything else to catch on fire. But even that little puff of explosion is enough to shut down a wafer fabrication facility, and that's a huge amount of cost. So part of the idea of this graceful failure is to set up mechanisms in your circuit that detect this current draw from, say, a shorted capacitor and shut it down, whether it's with a fuse or with some other mechanism, but allow it to fail gracefully rather than with a puff of smoke. Now, in general, and this is a quote, I think Wayne Nelson said, the language we use matters. And he was specifically talking about like hypothesis tests and the statistical terms that we commonly use that most people don't really understand. But I fully agree that the terms we use to specify what we want for the performance of our product concerning reliability really do matter. So just a quick jump on the soapbox again is if the more you can avoid using MTBF in practice, the better. It is just so widely misunderstood and misused that it just leads to issues and problems that we as reliable. Now, it might be job security because there will continue to be issues, but I think our primary role is to help our teams make reliable products. And simple way is to be very clear about the terms we use, and specifically the measures or metrics that we use to describe reliability. Now, this becomes even doubly more important when we're dealing with our supply chain. And understanding exactly what they're telling us and expressing what we want in very clear, unambiguous terms goes a long ways to receiving the components that are reliable as we expect them to be. All right, one more time, I'm going to give you a quick reminder is to work the examples. If you're working out of the CRE primer or one of the workbooks, there's usually worked out examples or sample exam problems. And that's a great opportunity to exercise your ability to find the references you need in the material that you expect to take with you to the exam. If you have any questions, as you run across anything that you don't quite understand or it's not quite clear, you know, let me know, whether on the form or directly through email, it's fine. The intent here is to help you master the material, and I'm no doubt that you're going to have some questions as we go through this. So in the next section, we're going to start talking about reliability modeling and predictions.